We're going to get started with the sermon here. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob, and we call ourselves coaches here at Maywood because we believe what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, that a church is supposed to be a group of people that participate together, and that the pastors are there to equip, to empower you all to be active with Jesus, serving Jesus. So we're in a series that we started in 1 Peter, so we're going to be going through the whole book of 1 Peter. If you guys want to be reading that as we go through it, that would be awesome because we're not able to hit every single verse. But today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll start us off in prayer, and then I'll hand things off to Bob. God, I thank you for our youth. I thank you for the courage they just showed to be up here. And God, I know I got to hear all week things that you were doing in their lives and how they were growing. God, I pray that that would continue with our youth. And I pray today that we all could learn from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would look up here to the screen, we're going to read through some verses. As I've looked at this, Peter did not write uncomplicatedly. That's not even a word.
But it fits.
But it fits. Yeah. He wrote words like you'd read in a legal document, and then after you get through reading, you'd say, what did he say? So I have had an advantage on you. I've spent some time in this passage, and I agree with Jake. It'd be really good for you to read through 1 Peter and get acquainted with it and just take it a phrase at a time and think about it. So we're going to kind of do some of that. It says, as you come to him, and that's important. We're going to talk about coming to Jesus because this all starts when we come to him. And Jesus is identified as the living stone, and we're going to talk about living stones also. Jesus was rejected by humans but chosen by God, and we have a room, a lot of us have been rejected by humans. The good news is we've been chosen by God, okay? And so he is precious to God. You also, that's us, like living stones. Again, Jake's going to be talking about being living stones, what that's all about. We'll get to that in a few minutes. We are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. What in the world is that? Well, a priest does this. A priest reaches out to people, and then a priest reaches out to God and brings them together, all right? And we have that role. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the service. We are offering spiritual sacrifices. What in the world is that? Your life. I watched Chris Weeks over here at the door greeting people as they came. Yeah, he is right out there. And just greeting people, that's a spiritual sacrifice. I was down by the south door, and there's a dear lady whose name I've forgotten, and she said, are you one of the preachers here? And I said, yes, I am. You're one of our greeters. That's a spiritual sacrifice. What a great gift that is to us. We could go on with that. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, skip through some verses that Jake's going to read in a minute, and you come to the other end. It says basically the same thing all over again. You are you. Put your name in there. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. There we are, that word again. That's your job. That's my job, not just our job. That's why we call ourselves coaches. We're coaching you to be that priesthood in the world where you live. We're a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Some of us have been in darkness. God has pulled us into the light. I listened in Josh's class today. By the way, Josh is home sick. Pray for him. But I listened in his class today. There were some great things said by people who had been in darkness, have come to the light. They do a great job of telling you how to get out. It's a great story, all right? Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So let's talk about being not a people. We are a room full of folks, and I put myself in that category. I haven't had the background of some here, but I can recall back in high school, I wasn't an anybody, all right? In fact, I was a nobody. And there was a group of guys from South Cape. Back when I was in school, you could sit on the hood of your car and smoke. When I'd go by those guys, they looked at me and said, you're not a part. The in crowd inside the school building, they looked at me and said, you're not part of our crowd either. I was so lonely. Y'all have maybe heard me say this. When I graduated from high school, I took my diploma. I ran out the door. I have never been back. I haven't been to an event, a school event, a basketball game, a football game, a reunion. I took off because that was one of the most miserable times of my life, and I was not a people. Jake earlier told his story about same way, sitting down with a group of people, and they looked at him into the lunchroom saying, "What are you doing here, man? You don't belong. You don't belong." How many of you have been in a situation where people looked at you and said, "You don't belong here"? Ha-ha. So we are that not a people crowd. But there's a beautiful thing. God invites us to come to Jesus. And showtime happened for me when I came to Jesus. And I want to tell you very simply how to do it. Whispering Danny was in Josh's class today helping Barbie kind of lead that. And he asked me to quote a verse. So I'm going to quote a verse for you. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus Christ knocks at our heart door. If you have any idea at all of following the Lord, you have any idea of letting him into your life, it's because he's knocking at your inner person, okay? So he says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anybody," put your name in there, "if anybody hears my voice and opens the door." Sometimes when I'm in my office and I have children and I'm trying to describe this, I will go outside the door and I knock on the door and I instruct the child, say, "Who's there?" "It's Pastor Bob." "Why are you there?" "I want to come in." That's why I'm knocking on the door. I just like knocking on doors. No, I want to come in. Why does Jesus knock at your heart's door? Because he wants to come in. So if he's knocking and you say, "Come in," I'll guarantee you he'll come in. Happens all the time, every day, all around the world, multiple times. And then he says this, "And I will have dinner with him and he with me." What's that all about? That's so strange. Well, what he means is he'll be your best friend. That's what he does. And so we are a bunch of nobodies, but Jesus says, "Come to me and I will be your best friend." That's a wonderful gift. But when we are his best friend, one of the things that we are called to do is to surrender to him. And there are a lot of people who like everything about Jesus except surrendering their self-will. But the surrendering of our self-will is the key thing of all that's going to happen in your life from now on. Okay, so I'm going to hand this little clicker over to Jake, and he's going to go from there, all right?
So if we come to Jesus, if we surrender to Jesus, then how do we actually live with Jesus? What does it look like to take steps with Jesus day in and day out? Because we've all walked somewhere before. We've all walked to the store or something like that. Well, when you walk on a journey, you do the same motion over and over. You take a step, take a step, take a step. But you get further and further with each step. You get somewhere with each step. It's the same motion, but you're going to a different place. What's the motion of walking with Jesus? How do we actually do this life with Jesus? What's the thing that we do over and over again that gets us somewhere different? Well, Peter gives us the answer, and he talks, just to that same song we were just singing about, he talks about this idea of cornerstone, and we're going to read the verses that Peter gives us here in just a second, but I want to, in case you're not up on ancient architecture, I want to talk a little bit about what is a cornerstone. Well, this is not a cornerstone specifically like they would have used in Jesus' day. This is concrete block. But laying block is somewhat similar to how they would build stone structures. Masons would build them back in the ancient world. So they would pick from a quarry. They'd have a whole bunch of stones to select from. And the head mason would pick for the cornerstone the best stone that he had. Because just like when you're laying block, you put one stone in the corner and you spend a lot of time getting it in just the right spot, because both the walls that come from it are going to match that cornerstone. Every other stone you put down, you're going to match to that cornerstone. So when I was living in Mexico, pretty much all the guys I was around in Mexico knew how to build things out of block, and they would build houses and rooms and things out of block a lot. So as you walked around the neighborhood, you saw men constantly building concrete walls. And what I noticed is those men, they'd lay those blocks down, but they'd always be referring back to what the work they'd already done, because they'd put those blocks in order. You don't want a wall that does this. You know, you want a wall that's straight. So you refer back to that first stone you put down, that cornerstone, and that's how you make your wall straight. So think about that idea as we read these verses from Peter. So Peter's quoting the Old Testament here. He says, in the scriptures it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. He's talking about Jesus here. Jesus is the cornerstone. He says, the one who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. We've probably all had moments where we trusted in the wrong person, and we were ashamed at some point because we did. We were in a mess because we trusted in the wrong person. Jesus makes us this promise of that if you trust in him, you'll never be put to shame. You'll never be ashamed of who you are if you put your trust in Jesus. Go on to the next verse here. He says, now to you who believe, this stone, talking about Jesus, is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He goes on to say, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. This is kind of strange. So Jesus could be the cornerstone, but he could also be the one that causes people to trip up, it says. Whoops. Peter explains it here. He says they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So I read a lot from Peter there. Let's break it down. You know, when I was in Mexico, I saw a lot of guys build walls out of block. I never saw a guy who was building a wall out of block trip over the stones that he had been building with. Because he would be looking at them over and over and over. He'd be looking at that cornerstone. And so you never trip over something that you've looked at 1,000 times in a day. I mean, it's so in your mind, you could probably close your eyes and not trip over it because you've looked at it so much. But there were blocks all over the place in Mexico because it was a typical building material. So I did see a lot of people trip over blocks at random times. They'd be running somewhere or looking somewhere else, and they weren't building. And so they'd trip over a block that they hadn't noticed. What Peter's telling us here in this passage is Jesus is going to be one of two things in your life. Jesus is going to be the person that you build on. And he says, if you do that, you'll never be put to shame. Or he says, if you ignore Jesus, there's going to come a day where you trip on him, where you fall on your face because you ignored Jesus. So Peter lays that out for us, that those are our two options, that Jesus is going to impact your life one way or another. If you ignore him, it's going to be a time where he puts you on your face, okay? If you build with him, though, if you're constantly looking to him, then he says that you'll never be put to shame. Let's talk just a little bit more before I hand this off to Bob about what does it look like to look at Jesus every day. I started off by talking about when you go on a journey walking, you take the same motion over and over, step, 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 but you get somewhere with each step. As a Christian, we're supposed to do our motion, our step, is to look at Jesus. When we refer to Jesus and say, I want to be in line with Jesus, I want to act like Jesus, that's how we take a step. And every time that you look at Jesus and change, then you're taking another step. And then you look at Jesus and you change, and that's another step. It'd be a silly thing if you were a mason and you looked and you said, okay, that's where that block is, and I'm just going to make this one off angle. I'm just going to do something a little different. As Christians, we need to look at Jesus every day, spend some time not just reading the Bible, although that's a big piece, but spend some time talking to God and asking Jesus about what's going on in our life. If you were facing my, family member that's giving me problems, or if you were facing my neighbor who's acting like a jerk, or if you were facing this financial crunch, Jesus, what would you do? Or if this really good thing happened to you, well, how would you respond to it? If you had this opportunity, Jesus, would you take it or would you not? What would you say today, Jesus? The things that I said, were they right or were they wrong? You look back on the front end, you say, what should I do today? And on the back end, you say, did I do it right? Yesterday, I was trying to put up some towel rack things for my wife. I had to put up four different ones. They're all supposed to be in a straight line, so I used the level, leveled it out, marked it out. It all looked great. And then I drilled my holes, and I put them up. And I put the level back up there again, and one of them was really off from the other three. And so then I had to adjust that one that was off. When your day starts out, start your day and say, Jesus, how do I measure up to you today? Measure it out. Look at Jesus and say, what am I about to do today? What am I shooting for? How would Jesus respond? When your day is over, or maybe even as you go through your day, even better, look at what you've done and measure it up to Jesus and say, okay, when I got upset, or when I said that mean thing, or when I got into other person's business, was that how Jesus would have acted? And so you keep looking, just like a mason, you look at that cornerstone over and over and over. As you do that, your life starts to get closer and closer in line with Jesus. It's that surrender decision happens over and over to say, I'm going to do it Jesus' way, over and over and over. So,
before you leave that,
yeah.
Can I just jump in real quick? This is a faith issue, what Jake is talking about. Do you believe that Jesus is the wisest man to ever walk on the face of the earth? Do you believe he is able to communicate his wisdom to you? If he is, look to him and ask him for that wisdom. This is not like the lottery. I mean, this is a sure thing, okay? You can ask him for wisdom, and he is going to give it to you. The Bible talks about he gives it to you, and he's not going to get on your case about it, and he's not going to be shifting one way and another way. You can ask him about that. You talk about, putting up your level. I had a car that needed a water pump, and I thought I was a mechanic. I am not a mechanic. Trust me. And so I got out one of those Chilton guides, That was before YouTube. And I went to the parts store, and I got a water pump. I prayed all the way through, taking off the radiator. Yeah, amazing, me taking off a radiator. Pulling off the water pump, getting a gasket on it, putting it back on, putting the radiator back on, getting it filled. Prayed all the way through. You know what? It worked. All right? It's crazy. It worked. If God can help me with a water pump, he can help you with anything. All right? And so this is really practical. This is not just some little thing about, Jake's been in Mexico and he knows how to lay blocks. This is, look at it. Jesus will show you step by step. Give it a try.
Yeah. Evan over here on the front row, he's been reading in Colossians, and over in Colossians it talks about how Jesus is the best. All of God's wisdom, all of God's knowledge is in Jesus, and Jesus can control anything he wants to control. If you really believe that about Jesus, that's what Paul was saying. If you believe about this cornerstone, then he's precious to you. Then you do look to him. Then you do value him. And if you're looking to him every day, if you're involving him in your life and saying, how do I measure up to you? Then you're going to be built right. And the last thing we want to talk to you about today is that Peter says, not just that we're going to have a life that's the right way. He says that when we measure up with God, God's going to build something out of us. You don't build a house out of one concrete block. You don't build a house out of two concrete blocks. It takes a whole lot of blocks together. And this passage says that God's plan for us is to build us together. It might be a painful process. We might have to rub shoulders in ways that we don't want to. But God wants to build us together to be a place where his spirit dwells. It's this awesome image. Bob, do you want to take us through what does it look like when God builds us together?
And we're going to zip through this quick. I want to show you our favorite team in Kansas City right now. We did this just for you, Josh. All right. This is a scene from last year. We use this image a whole lot here at Maywood, that we are coaches, you are players. Can I say very humbly, there's nobody in here who ought to just be a fan. You know what fans do? They sit on the sideline and they clap, or they call in on Monday morning if it's the Chiefs and they complain, all right? And so we don't want to just be fans. We all want to be players. And just to share to you from my heart, when I went to seminary, the very first sermon I heard was from our president. And he said, every person on the face of the earth needs a home for their soul. Another man talked about us, and he says, you know, we need to row around a person's heart like we're in a little boat until we have entrance into that person's heart and let them see how Jesus can fill that need. A friend of mine who was a counselor in Louisiana when I was pastoring down there, he complimented the little church that I pastor. He says, you know, Bob, you have created a community. What God wants to do with us, and he wants us to create a community where broken people can find the love of God and they can get healed. God has brought a room full of people who are nobodies. We were those not a people, folks. Many of us, most of us, have come to Jesus. We have met him, and he has worked in our life to make us new. And our step is to do just as Jake talked about, to look at the cornerstone, Jesus, to find his step by step. And it is step by step. It's not big leapfrogs. And to say, Lord, how can I step by step just respond to you and do what you want me to do? And what will happen is we will find a community here. Jake in the early service talked about building, and some people would sell stuff out of their house to go buy drugs, and their house was kind of wrecked because they took a really nice house, but they had an addiction that was more important than their house. He talked about some folks who built a house and left the roof off. We don't need that around here, okay? We don't need people ripping away, and we don't need people who are not complimenting the work. But can you see the vision? The vision is you are so important to God to be a part of what God is doing. And I applaud you, Jake applauds you, and Josh and Wayne join in. We applaud you for the work you're doing. We're just saying more of it. So come to Jesus, all right? Let him turn you from the world's nobody to a God somebody. Look at Jesus. I see a concrete block right there. And that's my image of the Lord. Keep looking back. Keep looking back and follow him. Let's go ahead and stand, please. We're going to respond to what God's saying to our hearts. Worship team's going to be here. Jake's going to lead us in prayer. And there'll be a bunch of folks down here who'd like to pray with you. Why don't you say, Lord, I'm coming? Or say, Lord, I'm signing up. I've been on the sidelines too long. Put me in business. How about it? Okay? Jake?
Jesus, you're precious to us. We look to you right now. Show us the next step that you want us to take. Show us how you want to build us into your house. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.